What if someone you loved became obsessed with a toy doll? Is there any chance that a doll could embody a negative spirit? And how could that lead to hundreds of apology notes mailed to a Key West museum? Today, we test the believability of Robert the Doll. Where we dive into the unknown and the unusual.
And tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. Another Tuesday. New episode decided on by our patrons. Ooh. Thank you everybody who voted for Robert the Doll. Because we're talking about it today. We're talking about dolls. It's exactly what I want to talk about today. I love dolls, man.
I think you're low-key obsessed with that painting of the cow.
There's a painting of a cow from Hobby Lobby right next to us.
Oh, man.
Just looking at us. He kind of has... His eyes kind of go out because he's got like a, you know, like imagine a cow head. Yeah. You yes. know, like how their eyes aren't, they're not looking forward at you like a human. And he kind of has, or she, you know, has one eye each looking at one of us.
Yeah. I like
right?
it.
Right?
Yeah. But you're like a little bit upset. Like maybe that, spoilers, maybe that painting's possessed.
You think so? You think I'm just up here talking to it sometimes?
Maybe. Oh my God.
I get my best ideas talking to this cow.
I'm going to ask Claire to take a picture of it.
Okay.
Of you talking to the painting.
Now, do you think its mouth's open and that's its tongue, or do you think its mouth is closed and that's its lower jaw?
I've actually never thought of it. I assume the mouth's open.
Listen, I was in Chicago this past weekend for a wedding. Shout out Sam, my buddy Sam. He got married in Chi-Town. I burned my tongue on refried beans, which seems like a minor inconvenience. But it must have been so scalding hot. And I wasn't even hungry. I wasn't even hungry. We ordered a pitcher of margarita and I took my first drink and it literally tasted like straight tequila. There was no raspberry flavor in that first glass. And I was like, oh, I'm going to need food. So I ordered like a veggie burrito and stuff. And literally the only thing that was directly touching the hot skillet was the refried beans. And that was the first thing I went for. Dude, for like 3 or 4 days... It hurt to talk. I was drinking smoothies.
Like I said, I was there too. I was not
in
there.
In spirit. I probably texted you. But I feel good now. My tongue's working good now. Also, I want to do a quick thank you to Hillbilly Horror Stories.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
The interview was a couple weeks ago, but they were like, it'll be coming out soon. Keep an eye out for it. And we did. And we saw it. And we listened. And we loved it. And they're awesome. Like I said on Instagram, they're literally rock stars in the paranormal podcast world. So it was an honor to be on their show. We posted it today, which would be a week ago about.
Yes, yeah.
So if you haven't checked that out or checked them out, you absolutely should. That's Hillbilly Horror Stories.
Yeah, it was really special. Thank you very much.
You said, and this is a longer intro than normal, but you know why we did it? Because Robert did it. That'll make sense. Why were you pissed off today? You got to my house and you're all like, right. I'm angry, but I'm going to talk about it on the podcast.
Just really quick. Okay, so sometimes I go to McDonald's before I go to Tyler's because I'm hungry. I haven't eaten all day. I need to do something to eat. So I go to McDonald's. It's like a guilty pleasure.
Okay.
And I went up to the window to pay for my food. And they go, the person in front of you paid.
Oh, so you feel pressure instantly.
I did. I was like.
Did you do it?
No, I said, thank you. And I moved on.
So you didn't pay it forward.
Nope. I was mad too. I was like, I'm not doing it. I know you expect me to. I'm not doing it though.
The good thing in this scenario is that the only person that knows you're an asshole is the person at the window.
That's true.
The person behind you doesn't know unless they make a point to tell them. Like, hey, here's your food that you have to pay for because that asshole in front of you got a free burger. You know what I'm excited for?
What's that?
They're supposed to be coming out with a McPlant. Which is a terrible name, but it's supposed to be a veggie burger.
I like it.
Because right now, it's like, you want to go to McDonald's? It's like, yeah, I guess I could go for some water. That would be excellent. There's very little that I can eat there. But, the task at hand. Robert the Doll. How much do you know about Robert?
A fair amount.
A fair amount?
A fair amount. But I'm excited to hear what you've brought to the table.
Awesome. There's a lot on the table right now. It's so hot up here. So, it's July. June. It's June.
It's June.
So what else do you expect? So here's the way I'm going to lay it out for you. We're going to talk a little bit about Robert the Doll itself. You know, Robert as the doll. Then we're going to talk about the history of the original owner, who is Eugene. So Eugene and Robert. Actually, his name's Robert. He gave his name to the doll. and then changed his name.
History is my jam, so.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Then we're going to talk about a couple other origin stories that are kind of bullshit.
Okay.
And then we're going to talk about what has happened since the original owner passed away.
Okay, cool.
So you got the itinerary. You'll follow along.
Got my schedule.
Yes. So let's dive into Robert the Doll. In my opinion, he already looks creepy, and maybe that's biased knowing that he's supposedly a super haunted doll, but I feel like even if I just saw him, I'd be a little like, I'd give him the squinty eyes. I'd be like, this doesn't look right. Something doesn't look right here, you know what I mean? Like, for instance, Annabelle. Like, if you watch the movies, like the Conjuring universe movies with, like, Annabelle, creepy looking doll, but if you see Annabelle in real life, kind of like a Raggedy Ann doll, right?
Yeah.
But you wouldn't look at it and be like, oh my God. It's more so what you know about Annabelle.
Right, yeah.
Where Robert the Doll, I think, looks a little bit, maybe just because he's a little bit weathered. He's been around literally like 117 years. Like, he's been around since the beginning of the 1900s. So, what does he look like? He's about 4 foot tall, about 6 pounds. He's in a sailor suit, which we'll get to where that came from. And he has like a little dog on his lap. Really funny, because you can tell like a lot of different sources are jumbled together, which isn't good for me. But some people are like, he has a little lion on his lap and a little puppy on his lap and a little bear on his lap and a little dog on his lap. I'm like, I gotta look up a picture. I mean, it's funny because I'm like, I know what he looks like, but when you read all these articles that are talking about different animals, unless he's like, he just has a zoo and every 20 years he just puts a new, I guess, you know, pets never last as long. It's one of the greatest shames in the world. Pets never last as long as the owners. So maybe he has gone through all those animals. But he's got sailor's outfit on, sailor's hat on, straw-like material, but he's covered with felt.
Oh.
Okay. And there's like little holes and rips and tears in the felt. We're not like extensively, but you can tell it's an older doll. And he's got these little tiny black beady eyes.
These little mice beady eyes.
He's peeking at you. Apparently he's got blondish hair. I'm colorblind. I couldn't really tell, but it's mostly hidden by the hat anyway.
Yeah.
And he looks like he has a very nice tan.
Well, he's in Florida.
He is in Florida. This is Florida, Key West. And we'll get to that as well. That is the doll. That is what the doll looks like. He's typically sitting down in a rocking chair. He probably wishes it was a reclining chair. You say
typically,
chair.
Like, what else could he be doing?
If you pick him up, then he's not in a chair.
Okay, I was like, is he lounging on the couch?
If you go to the museum in Key West, he's sitting in a chair. And when the original owner had him for a lot of the portion when it was living in the attic, he was in a chair. But I'm assuming sometimes he wasn't. You know, got to stretch those legs out. So why are we talking about this doll on the podcast? You know why? Because there is paranormal mumbo jumbo surrounding this doll. He is known to move. He is known to cause terrible catastrophes to happen to those that disrespect him. He's known to change his facial expression. And he's even known to speak and giggle.
Speaks?
And giggles.
Oh.
So now let's dive into the history of Robert the Doll. So, the history of Robert the Doll. It all starts in 1904. Little Robert Eugene Otto got a life-changing gift on his 4th birthday. A doll. Now, I imagine if he would have got like Hot Wheels or something instead, then like this would never exist. Somebody would get the doll, though. They were very clear that this is a once... there's no other Robert the Dolls. Like, it wasn't like a mass produced.
Oh, especially made for him?
Yeah, or it was specially made. It wasn't specially made for Robert, Eugene. He goes by Gene. Fast forward, he literally gives his name to the doll. He's like, doll, you are now known as Robert. And therefore, I will change my name to my middle name. So, which was Eugene, and he goes by Gene.
That's insane.
So for the remainder of this episode, the owner of Robert is Gene. Going back a step to say, his grandfather is the one that gave him Robert the Doll as a birthday gift. But it wasn't specially made for Gene. It just was one of one. You know what I mean? I feel like there's a better term. Like, it was a one of a kind.
One of a kind. I was about to say
that. That's where I got my cat in Akron here. It's called one of a kind. It was a one-of-a-kind doll, and he picked it up. He's like, ooh, what are 4-year-old boys like?
Dolls. Sure.
Yeah.
Grandpa's also, a little out of touch.
fun fact, it was created by the Steiff factory, which it's known for creating the, it's made by the same company that created what we call the teddy bear.
Okay.
Which is named after Theodore Roosevelt. But
yes,
that bear, when you picture a teddy bear, that one, same company. They're kind of, it's kind of their fault. This all happens. So Robert fell in love with this toy.
A question.
Yeah.
Sorry. So this company made one of a kind doll.
Yeah.
Was it just like a prototype and they sent it out?
No, I think it, like, think about like somebody who makes their own stuff.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like if you go to a craft fair or something and you see a bunch of toys or stuff, like it's not mass produced. Let me put it that way. Like, I don't think it was intended to be like a collector's item or anything like that. It's just, they probably weren't really mass producing stuff as much back then. And it just, they made that doll and they're like, all right, we did that one.
On to the next one.
On to the next.
Okay.
There's probably a lot more Robert the Dolls out there that are just different types that
very probably, similar, but not the same.
Yeah, they didn't get the chance to have their shine yet and become gotcha. Spooky and stuff. So he loved the doll so much, like I said, he gave it his name. And he's like, not only will I give you my name, Robert, I'm going to give you my clothing. No idea what this doll came. Maybe it was naked. Who knows? Who knows what this doll looked like? But he's like, I have this excellent sailor's outfit that will look just dashing on you, I'm sure is what he said. Maybe it was a Halloween costume. I don't know. But he gave Robert the doll the sailor outfit that it is infamous for now.
Apparently, the dad grabbed the mom by the arm and goes, what the?
This is
what are you doing?
You know we can't afford therapy. So the doll was treated like a best friend or a brother too. However, like most children, Gene did not want to take responsibility for his poor decision. So, and this will become kind of a mantra for the episode, but whenever anything bad happened in the Otto household, if something would get broken, if something would go missing, Gene's go-to phrase was, Robert did it.
Robert did it.
Yes, Robert did it.
Robert did it.
So apparently, the first paranormal event that occurred with Robert happened very early in Gene's childhood. He had set Robert on a chair before going to sleep, yet woke up a few hours later to find Robert sitting at the end of his bed, just staring at him.
Oh my God.
A few moments later, the rest of the house was woken up by loud crashes. Furniture was being thrown all around Gene's room. When Gene's mother, Minnie, came in terrified because of all the loud noises, she saw chaos and a mess, but it wasn't Gene throwing the furniture because he wasn't even out of bed. He had the blankets over him while Robert was sitting quietly at the end of the bed.
Oh my God, how is there an instinct to not just burn this doll?
Well, I don't know if she thought it was the doll.
Okay, all right, but still.
Like, in her mind, I don't know what's in her mind. She's, you got to buy a lot of new furniture. Hopefully they had a Nashley Home Store by him.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, while the natural reaction, especially for Gene, he's the one that witnessed it firsthand, would be to fear the doll, it was actually the opposite. Gene's infatuation with Robert only grew.
What? He was into it?
He was into it. He was down with the spooks. Not only did he take Robert everywhere with him, he started talking to the doll, which is fine, right? I mean, kids be talking to dolls. It happens.
Sure, yeah. That's great, yeah.
The creepy part is that Gene's parents, Thomas and Minnie, started hearing a voice in Gene's room that did not belong to Gene. A unrecognizable voice. So upon hearing this distinctly different voice, they would open the door, curious to see who Gene was talking to, and find him sitting on the floor speaking directly to Robert the doll. And there was no FaceTiming then. There was no, this was, you know, there wasn't even Skype. Skype's pretty old, but there wasn't even Skype back then.
If I may, an aside.
Yeah.
Robert, what do you want to do tomorrow?
I don't know, little boy. Let's f*** some shit up.
Okay, Robert, that sounds great.
I'm tired of playing Let's Throw Furniture.
Oh my God.
I wonder what conversations they did have, though.
Why are you doing this? I hate you. Okay, I love you.
Here, take my clothes. So things only escalated. Sometimes his parents would come in and find Gene screaming and see Robert holding Gene down on the bed. Similar to the furniture, they claimed that objects would fly across the room and many of Gene's other toys would either show up broken, misplaced, or even severely mutilated, which is very disturbing.
I mean, I'm just laughing at the absurdity of that. Like, not that it's happening, just the like how intense that is.
Right. So it happens, they witness it, and still trying to keep some level of the real world around them, Gene's parents are like, why did you do this? What is happening? And Gene said,
Robert did it.
Yes.
While being held down and spit on by this doll.
Where does the spit come from?
I don't know. That's the part of the mystery.
If he was up here, it'd be sweat. Now, let me ask you this. Let's pretend 100% this is real. Okay. Let's just say 100% this doll is causing this mumbo jumbo. Bad juju. Now, when you picture it happening, furniture flying around and stuff, do you picture a little doll walking around, grabbing it and chucking it like Chucky? Or do you picture the doll being the cause of it, but the doll stationary while it's happening around it?
Like, I envision it kind of like not the doll actually doing it, the doll being stationary and just like this force.
Yeah.
Making things fly apart.
If you're stuck on the believability of it, but you want to believe it, that's what I would be as well. I don't see the doll doing it with like its little doll hands, its little felt hands.
As cute as that is.
Yeah. And then beady eyes. Speaking of the eyes, they also say that you can see the doll's expression change. Like eyes seem to narrow. And they say if you ignore the doll, that it sort of twists into anger ever so slightly. I have a hard time comprehending this because it's a doll and you know it can't actually move, but I feel like I also understand what they mean because, you know, like animals, like a cat, for instance, a cat doesn't have quite the same facial structure we do where they don't always emote in the same ways in the face. But every now and then I feel like you can see when your cat's pissed in the face. Like, there was this one time I was playing with my cat, and I swatted him, and I swear his eyebrows furrowed, and he gave me that kind of, like, you know, screw you face, and it was very kind of surreal. So I'm wondering if it's something, I'm digressing, but I'm wondering if it's something like that, where it's, like, it's half a feeling, but also half, like, very, very minute changes in the face, if it's true.
Yeah, that's kind of, like, to me, I am... Vision Mr. Potato Head Toy Story, where he just like he takes off his eyebrows and puts on the angry ones.
Yeah,
that's how I see it.
I think Robert's mad. How do you know? He's got his angry eyebrows. So the voices, the objects moving, lasted for years until eventually Gene went off to art school in various different states. And he went off, he did his thing, he was doing art, he came back to Key West, Florida. He took over his parents' old residency after they passed away, and he actually became a pretty well-known and respected artist in the community. So he decided upon his arrival back in Key West to take the doll upstairs and just keep him up there for a while. However, word about Robert the doll started getting around because where the house was positioned, kids walking to school could see up in the attic window. And they claimed that when they saw Robert the doll in the window, they would get really weird, creeped out feelings. And some of them even said that they would see the doll move.
Man, that's going to feel like a predator watching you. That's how I imagine it. Like,
it being feels very watched. Goosebumps-like to me, because it's dealing with kids, I guess. But it would be really creepy to see, like, even a very slight movement, like an arm twitch or something.
Imagine how hot that attic was.
Dude, he's like melting. He's like, just get me out of here. I won't throw another furniture again. He doesn't know what a chair is. He just calls it all furniture.
It's all furniture.
So when word got back to Gene that it was freaking these kids out, he was like, no way. I didn't even put him by the window.
He was like, good.
Yeah, I hate kids. They never wanted to hang out with me. So my best friend was a doll that my grandfather gave me. But he was like, they're crazy. They're just making up rumors. I didn't even put the doll by the window. So he goes upstairs to see what's going on. And weirdly enough, Robert was propped up against the window sitting in a chair.
Where did he put it initially?
There were no details, no descriptions.
Okay.
It's more about the reveal of coming in and finding him not quite where he left him by the window. Because in his mind, he's like, I didn't even put him by the window. So eventually, Gene got married, as most people do. And his wife, Anne, this might surprise you, wasn't a fan of Robert. As you can imagine, actually really freaked her out.
Yeah.
So while she was really happy that Gene, thankfully, kept Robert up in the attic, it didn't seem quite far enough away. And she didn't get that peace of mind that she wanted because she would hear movements and footsteps, loud clashes, and even sinister giggling coming from upstairs.
Imagine she's just, like, washing dishes one day, and, like, while she's washing dishes, she feels just, like, something brush her hair.
Well, it's a 4-foot doll. I don't know how tall Anne was, but I'm assuming.
Something brushes her skirt.
Something's on a stool, rocking it. He's on that zombie land, just wanted to push the hair behind
her ears. Yeah, exactly.
It makes me, when you were setting that up, it made me think of, I think it's Insidious, where the mom's walking through the house, and there's that really quick shot where you can see a kid standing against the wall.
Yes, yes.
But, like, they don't draw attention to it, and you could watch the movie happily and not know it was ever there. Love the movie, one of my top three. But I just think about it where it's, like, if you don't feel safe in your house, if you're, like, even if it's far enough away, if it's still something like that is in your house, and you're hearing it, and you, like, imagine really, for real. You're just like you said, doing the dishes, and you just hear giggling upstairs. And you know damn well there's no human being upstairs. Like, it's just very disturbing.
When I moved into my new house, we thought we heard some, like, stuff upstairs, like floor creaking.
And that's where your bed is.
Well, it is now. We haven't heard anything.
Well, that's because you blessed the house.
That's true. I don't know if anything ever I was actually doing, if it was just sort of, like, our mind, but, like, that fear has kind of crept back now talking about it.
Yeah.
I know nothing's, it's fine, but
yeah,
but that initial fear is still there.
I always joked when I was looking to buy a house beforehand that that would be one of the main questions. It's like, how's the structure? Has it been blah, blah, blah tested? Is it haunted? Has anyone died here? Oddly enough, though, when we got this house, I didn't ask that. Slipped my mind. Yeah, I didn't ask the realtor.
That's a weird thing to ask, though.
Well, I expect honesty if I do. They're like, it's very haunted.
There's many ghosts.
Sign here and I'll tell you.
Yeah, actually, look over there. There's a spirit on the stairs.
So what would you do if Steph came to you and was like, Chalele, listen, there's this toy upstairs that you got when you were 4 years old. First of all, there's a lot to unpack in that. We'll get to that later.
It's true.
It's really creeping me out and I don't like it being in our house. What would you do?
I mean, I wouldn't be as attached as Gene probably is to this doll. Like I said, my initial response is to set it on fire. So
that is not what Gene did. Now, guys, we do a lot of things. We know a lot of things, but we're not always the best at reading the temperature in the room. However, I imagine that Anne was pretty straightforward about it. So what did he do? He actually got closer to Robert the doll. It was almost like that friend where, like, when you leave for college and you don't talk to him for a long time, but then you come back and you pick up right where you left off. That was him and this doll, except it's a haunted doll. It's not a friend. So Gene started furnishing the attic and creating little child-sized furniture and toys for Robert. And to make it even more appealing to Gene and to spend even more time with Robert, he actually turned the attic into his painting studio, so that he can spend the majority of his time and his days upstairs with Robert painting. It got so crazy and so intense that he actually reverted back to his old mantra. So when Gene would do something or say something that would hurt Anne's feelings or hurt the relationship, he would simply say, "It wasn't me. It was Robert. Robert did it."
That's almost cute coming out of a kid, but out of a full-grown man, that's not funny.
Yeah, that's when you call the divorce attorney.
Yeah.
That's when you get those papers. So that behavior continued all the way until 1974 when Gene passed away. So the reported cause of his death was Parkinson's disease, and it's been also reported in his final years he spent most of his time in the attic conversing with Robert. Anne found out that she had been completely written out of Gene's will. Apparently, he was not a fan that she wasn't a fan of Robert.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and he was a fairly successful artist, so I don't know how much she missed out on, but she probably wasn't happy. But the good thing is that she didn't have to dwell on that too long because she passed away 2 years later. That's a joke. It's not a good thing that she died.
No.
But it was a very short time after
that's
that.
That's shitty. That's terrible.
Right. So what happened? Where does this leave us? The house, and therefore Robert the doll, was purchased by Myrtle Reuter, who would end up owning Robert for the next 20 years. To be continued, we will get back to this, but before we discuss what happened after Jean's passing, I want to touch on a couple of other origin stories. Okay, so before we get back to the main timeline, here are two other potential origin stories. And what do I mean by origin story? The most wildly believed origin story is simply that Jean's grandfather gave him the doll for his fourth birthday. That's the original most believed origin story.
Yeah, that's what we put in our initial timeline.
Yes. Here are alternate parallel universe ideas.
Okay.
Because what it tries to do is explain why it's haunted.
You know
what
I mean? Okay.
So, like a grandfather giving his four-year-old grandson a doll doesn't explain why the doll is making furniture fly around the room. So these theories try to do that.
Who's found in the desert in Egypt?
One legend is that a girl or a Haitian servant gave young Jean the doll as a gift, but not a real gift. It was a retaliation for wrongdoing, which was really not elaborated on any of the articles I saw. But it was pretty much like Jean was cruel to her, and therefore she was going to get back at him.
I see.
And the doll was cursed with voodoo, which ended up making the doll sort of a conduit to evil spirits.
Oh.
And another little interesting fact about this theory is that it's believed that the doll was actually made with real human hair. So it's like, that. I guess the idea of what you would imagine a voodoo doll of taking on real human items.
That gave me shivers. I don't know why that sent shivers down my spine.
Yeah. Real human felt. I don't know what that is. It's just peach fuzz. Two, and this one gets a little dramatic. So for those of you that like the CW or Bravo, I don't know. What is Bravo? Do you ever watch Bravo?
AMC.
TNT. TNT. We know drama.
Yes.
Not a sponsor. So the Otto family, which, just for clarification again, Gene's last name is Otto. So yeah. The Otto family, they had two servants from the West Indies, William and Emmeline Abbott. The Abbotts were a married couple who also worked for the Ottos for a very long time. It actually been working for them so long that it started with Jean's grandfather, Joseph, the one that gave Jean Robert. And just to show how close they actually were, the Abbotts actually were buried in the Otto family plot. So they had money, which, if I had a very, very rich grandfather and he gave me a doll, you can give me a Jeep. Give me a Jeep Wrangler.
Well, he was four.
It's an investment.
Oh, okay. I see.
Between 1900 and 1910, Emmeline Abbott gave birth to two children. So one theory suspects that Emmeline Abbott was actually having an affair with Jean's father, Thomas. Now, there's no proof of this, and they kind of go into the speculation. It's the idea of there's a handful of documents, like journals. Like Jean's mom, Minnie, wrote in a journal that her husband receives a lot of attention from other women in kind of like a distasteful way. Minnie refused to be buried in the Otto family plot. So obviously there was a little bit of bad blood there.
Yeah.
And also after they passed away, Emmeline Abbott tried to file a lawsuit against the Ottos. Fortunately, I don't know the truth. Nothing came of it.
Okay.
So it's all hearsay. It's all family drama.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is that potentially maybe the spirit of Thomas, Jean's father, and Emmeline Abbott's child, the servant, or the help, the hired help, maybe that deceased child haunts Robert the doll, which is one, why it's so close to Jean, because it's a half sibling, but two, maybe why it's so vengeful against the world, because they never got a fair chance. It was a poorly looked upon baby. Now, the only issue with this on my end, which wasn't really reported, was they didn't really talk. They said they had two children, but they didn't say, like, they died at birth. They didn't say there's a miscarriage. They didn't say. It really isn't, and I hate to dissect it in the middle of it, but I really didn't see anything about them having a child and it not. I guess the only way that you could not know there was an affair is if they hadn't a child and there wasn't a child. So maybe the idea is that they had a child, it died in miscarriage, or it was killed
or it was shortly taken after out, birth, yeah.
And that to cover up the affair.
Yeah.
And now that child haunts Robert the Doll.
If it was killed, I would even give it more vengeance.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And another theory is that Emmeline Abbott used magic to trap her child's spirit in the doll so that even though she knew that her affair with Thomas and this child wouldn't be able to live because of it, that she could at least let her child live in spirit through this doll.
That is it's big if true.
Big yes.
If true.
However, it's also under, even from taking, so I feel like I took a step back to criticize it. Now taking even a couple more steps back, a lot of people have been criticizing this theory because it leads into the, oh, these foreigner Haitian servants must know black magic and witchcraft.
That's what I was thinking when you're saying it.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, of course the foreigner help know voodoo and black magic. So it's kind of been torn down for that. But if you are willing to suspend your disbelief and kind of buy into the family drama, you know, I could see a Netflix series about the help. You know, like they have an affair and she thinks it's going to work out and then it doesn't. And then they have a baby and the baby gets killed. But right before it dies completely, she does something to make the spirit go in this doll. Right. You'd watch like how many episodes? 8.
That's the next CW show. It's just called Robert. All the parents are 20.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But they're supposed to be high schoolers. They're supposed to be 16, but the actors are 35.
Yeah, exactly.
Dear Evan Hansen. So the final tidbit about this theory that I'll mention before we go into post-Gene experiences is that some visitors at the Key West Museum where Robert the Doll is currently at claim to see a young girl spirit around the doll. They claim to see a young mixed girl around 5 years old with long brown curly hair in an old-fashioned nightgown. Spooky, spooky, spooky.
I don't like that at all.
Nope. So now let's go back to the timeline and back to the experiences with Robert the Doll.
Yes, let's go.
So just as a refresher where we last left off, unfortunately, very sadly, Gene and Anne passed away. The house was purchased by Myrtle Reuter, which means she also got Robert the Doll. What a deal. So for a while, everything was cool. Her daughter actually really liked Robert. They hung out. It was cool. All was good until about 5 years or so later, they moved and sold the house. And this is where things took a turn for the worse. It became a common occurrence in their new home that Myrtle's daughter would scream at night and wake her in terror. Her daughter was convinced that Robert was trying to hurt her. And she also told Myrtle that Robert would wander around her room late at night.
Did they take Robert with them?
Yeah, when they moved, Robert came with them to the new house.
Oh, okay,
so
I see.
So in the house that Gene and Anne were at, no paranormal activity happened in that house. It was just all good. Robert was at home. He was comfortable. He had his little tiny toy furniture stuff.
Yeah.
You know, in the paintings. But when they moved to a new house is when shit hit the fan. In the mid-1980s, two men actually rented the house from Myrtle, and they knew about Robert. They knew a little bit about him, and they placed him in a certain spot in the corner of the attic, like, okay, you do you. We know that this is a little bit creepy, but we're renting this house.
Are these men confirmed bachelors?
There's no confirmation.
Okay, I just
they
wondering.
Might not even be real.
Oh.
But what is real is that when they were in the house, every now and then, they would hear things moving around upstairs and children laughing. So naturally, they go upstairs to investigate. And they're absolutely freaked out when they realize that Robert changed his position. And that only became more frequent. Eventually, the guys invited their friend Malcolm Ross to come over and talk about what they were experiencing. Now, Ross said that he felt a strange, an uncomfortable feeling when he was around Robert. And the way he described it is very specific and a little strange. He said when he was around Robert, it was like the sensation of a cold metal bar running down his back.
That's weird.
Very oddly specific, right?
Yeah.
It almost sounds like he gets chills, but heavy chills. Like you're not just feeling something cold, you're feeling something heavy and cold.
Oh, like the sensation is just like something running up and down, just like zzz.
Yeah, it's just, it feels bad.
Yeah. Man, you said switching positions. Like, I see him just, like, sitting one time and then just, like, this one time and just, like, laying forward.
Nobody knows what you're doing.
Oh, I can't describe it.
I know. The pose you did was, like, the woman in the red dress on the piano.
Yeah.
If I may. Now, he also noted, Ross, that is their friend, that Robert's face and his expressions would change. The way he described it was Robert looked like a child that was being punished. And he also noticed when all of the men were upstairs having a conversation in the attic that it seemed that Robert was following the conversation.
Like minute little head tilts to the one side.
There's no description. And I literally sat for like 10 minutes thinking about this. And I'm like, I wonder if they mean like ever so slightly face turns, whether it looked like the eyes were narrowing or whether like when each person talked, the way the head just ever so slightly moved.
Mm-hmm.
Or I wonder if it was just a feeling where it's like he felt like he was in on the conversation. Because part of me still feels like it's almost a dramatization of them saying that his expression changes, where I feel like it's getting a feeling. Like it's kind of like when you get a feeling that someone's watching you.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's personification. Like you are getting this feeling that this doll is having a human emotion and reaction to what you're doing. And I feel like you can't explain it. And maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe this doll really is physically changing its expression. I can't even imagine what that's like. I feel like it's something that's just hard to explain. And the only way you can explain it and it makes sense to our human minds is the way we describe someone changing an expression.
That almost makes more sense. But
right. So back to Myrtle. So her breaking point came when she clearly caught him moving on his own. There's no more description than that. I really, really wish there was. I don't know if it was her knowing for a fact that he was in the same spot. Like, she put him somewhere. No one else was around. Her children weren't around. The renters weren't around. It kind of like a 5-minute thing. Like, imagine you set something down for 5 minutes, you leave, you come back, and it's moved. I don't know if it was that, or I don't know if she literally saw its arm move or something like that. But she hit a breaking point.
That sent shivers down my whole spine, man.
Terrifying, right?
I got goosebumps up to my thighs again.
So at this point, she locks Robert in a room and there's no more discussion. This doll is haunted. 100% guaranteed haunted doll. So naturally, unlike Jean and very much so like Anne, she's like, I'm going to get rid of this doll. So she files the paperwork and officially donated him to the museum in 1994.
That'll show.
Yeah, he'll get all the publicity now. And 3 months later, after the donation, Myrtle died.
Oh my gosh.
There's no reported cause of death that I saw.
Wow.
So let's now shift to the museum. And like I said, this was a 20-year thing. So now we're in the 1990s. I think it was 1994. Oh, exactly.
Man, I was 3 years old.
Yeah, I was two. I was a child. After arriving at the museum, paranormal activity started increasing there. The staff started noticing very peculiar traits about Robert. He seemed to stare at them in a very unchildlike way and also a very non-doll-like way. Like he was very aware and also very conscious of everything that was happening around them. They were so convinced that Robert was moving in this chair, the rocking chair that he was in, that they actually made a mark on the ground so that they would be able to come back and see if he got closer or farther away from it. Now, there was no update on that. I really wish there was, because that would be not concrete proof, but I mean, that's something.
Yeah.
Not everything, but it is something. So for a couple of years, Robert was actually kept in storage and he could only be seen by appointment. And apparently the museum workers and employees were so terrified of Robert that when a customer would come with an appointment to see him, they would actually plead the customer to come back on a different day when they weren't working so they wouldn't have to go and retrieve Robert.
Wow, that is some petty bullshit with your coworkers.
Like, I think they're just lazy.
Come when Michael is working. I don't want to go there today.
I hate Michael. He cheated on me. Now, of course, Robert is a major tourist attraction and he's part of a tour now. You don't have to make an appointment to see him. But at the time, back in the early 90s, that's how it was. So let's talk about the museum visitors.
Man, I just had like my hands were like dingling down here by dingling? By my legs.
I love when my hands are dingling.
Dangling. But man, I just had like this vision of just like a little doll coming up and pulling both of them down. Ugh.
Imagine just like, and imagine it's like super strength.
I know.
Oh like I don't have a good grip strength and my hands are really sweaty being up here right now. So I probably wouldn't be able to pull you down very much. But if a little doll came and was just like, whew, and pulled you down.
I know. Ugh, gosh. Okay. It's getting to me, obviously.
Okay. So to the museum. So as I mentioned, in 1994, this doll was donated to the museum, which the official name, if you're curious, if you're heading to Key West and you want to see it, it is the East Martello Museum. So whether or not it was a ploy to aid into the curiosity or whether to get the sales up, it is highly suggested by the staff at the East Martello Museum that you follow very specific rules when you're around Robert. One, you must introduce yourself. You have to say, hi, Robert, my name is so-and-so and I'm from so-and-so. Now, let's say you see this doll and you're in Key West and you want to tell people that you saw the doll, and there's only one way to do that, and that's to post about it on Instagram and Facebook. Because if it doesn't exist on Facebook and Instagram, did it really happen?
Yeah, picture didn't happen.
Right. So you might just want to take a picture. Well, hold your horses, because you have to ask permission. You can't just go willy-nilly taking a picture of Robert the doll. You have to, like I said, introduce yourself, say where you're from, and be like, Robert, may I take a picture of you? Now, are you going to get a response? No, he's a freaking doll. But it's more so the intention. You are showing Robert that you care enough to take the picture. So if you ask for permission, you take the picture, and then you say, thank you, Robert. That is what is preached to you by the staff. So naturally, you're like, well, Tyler, what if you don't ask for permission? Bad juju. If you act rudely, if you don't introduce yourself, if you don't ask him for a picture, you suffer negative consequences. And what do I mean by that? Well, it's been reported that people who have been rude to him, not ask for permission, have suffered physical harm, car accidents, job loss, travel inconveniences, divorces, and deaths in the family. People that take pictures of him without asking for permission often report glitches in their camera, deleted photos, memory card errors, and lens errors. However, if it's a lens error rather than a memory storage error, when they leave the museum, they'll notice that their camera goes back to working perfectly fine. So I found an article that has a couple of experiences. So here's how we'll round out the episode. I got a couple of experiences that people had from one article I saw that visited Robert, and I have letters, because like I said, when I started the episode, people that mess up and are dealing with negative consequences actually write letters to Robert the doll begging for forgiveness. Now, that seems ridiculous, but they'll actually show you the letters at the museum. Like, it's real. People really do send this museum letters. They said that some days he gets up to 4 to 5 letters a day.
Wow.
Some people send joints.
Oh my gosh.
Like, they'll send candies and gifts to appease him, but also to ask forgiveness. It's very intense. And I feel like some of it's kind of like, yo, I can always say that I sent Robert the doll a letter because it's, they might hang it up.
Yeah.
But I feel like some people, based on what I see, really are kind of freaked out. So anyways, let's get into a couple of the experiences. So one couple decided to go to Florida on their honeymoon. However, after visiting Robert and not being as kind as they could have, they lost all of their vacation photos along with all of their wedding pictures. So for their first year anniversary of their wedding, they decided to go back to Robert, and this time they showered him with gifts. They gave him peppermint candy. They showed him the candy. They're like, this is for you, Robert. That's paraphrasing. I have no idea what they said. But apparently, when they were alone with Robert, the lights went out for just a moment, and they felt relief in their chests. And the way that they interpreted this is that it was Robert expressing gratitude for the candy. Now, did they get their pictures back? No. But he said, thanks for the candy, y'all. David Sloan, author of Haunted Key West and Robert the Doll. He literally wrote a book called Robert the Doll. Said that he had very strange experiences while doing research and writing his book on Robert. He lost four hard drives of material, and he wasn't able to retrieve anything except for the book manuscript, and even the backups of the manuscript absolutely disappeared. Not like deleted, but just completely vanished. And he went to a medium who suggested that he should build a fireproof safe for his valuables while he was working on the book. The idea that all this energy and thought and publicity that he's putting into Robert was just stirring up all this energy. And he was told that if Robert didn't approve of the book that he was writing, he's told this by the medium, that Robert would give him cancer.
Oh my God.
And he said during the writing of this book that he was pulled from his bed and literally suspended in midair. But he's still around, so maybe Robert got approved. He got the paperback edition, and he's like, not bad.
Oh my gosh, that's giving the chills. Like, we're giving attention to this thing right now.
I know.
Oh man.
You should ask him for forgiveness.
I'm going to at the end. Like, not even ironically.
One guest wrote a letter saying that she and her husband saw Robert a few times, but they never really experienced anything spooky. But during their very last visit, they stayed at the house where he was originally at, where Jean and Anne lived, and they were staying in the room that was directly below the attic, but it had access to the attic. So they decided, what if we sneak up there where Robert used to be, and what if we take some pictures?
What if we don't? Oh my God.
What if we catch something in there? You know, kind of like a little amateur ghost hunting, which is the only ghost hunting you and I know?
Yeah.
So they go up there, they go in the attic, and they take pictures. The next day, before checking out, they notice pain, and they start getting a fever, and they start getting rashes. And after arriving home, the doctor diagnoses them with shingles.
Oh my God.
And the husband started feeling pain as well, different pain, and was diagnosed with kidney stones.
Oh my Lord.
And they were absolutely convinced that Robert caused their ailments. Because in their mind, they were still disrespecting him by taking pictures of where he was from without asking for forgiveness.
Oh my gosh. Is that like house like an Airbnb now? Like,
I think it's a hotel.
Oh.
It's like the, I think they call it like the art house or something like that.
We should stay there.
Well, let me ask you this, Charlie. Do you remember where I went for my honeymoon?
Key West.
Yes. I've seen Robert the doll.
Did you get to see him?
I saw him in person. I got to him as close as you and I are right now.
That's very scary.
But I made the decision. I did say hello. I did say hi. I said, hi, Robert. And I said, my name is Tyler. And when we left, now the couple that said they were alone with Robert, I don't know if I believe that. Maybe this was years ago and you could walk on your own accord. But when I saw Robert the doll, and this was 4 years ago, there was a tour. Like, we took a bus. It was like they took you on different stops around Key West and told you about like a cemetery that was haunted, a house that was haunted. And it ended at the museum where the guide took everybody from the bus to go see Robert the doll. Now, I'm not that much of a superstitious person, but I'm also not an idiot. And I did not take a picture of Robert the doll because I figured I could Google it. And
yes.
You can.
Yes. There's,
now, would I be able to use that photo for this episode graphic knowing 100% we won't get hit with copyright? Yes. But could I have also died and got cancer? Maybe.
Possibly.
I will say this, though, and this is a fact, and actually, I'll be honest, I never made this connection until researching this episode. And you'll know this. 4 days. 4 days after getting home from my honeymoon to Key West, my car got stolen. And my phone got stolen in that car with all of my pictures from the honeymoon. My wife has some. I have no pictures of our honeymoon because it was in my car that got stolen. And I checked the date because my got a new license that day because it got stolen. It was 4 days getting back home from Key West.
I got shivers down to my goddamn ankles.
Yeah, and I didn't, at the time, you're not thinking about it. And in the last 4 years, I didn't think about it. I'm still not saying I'm attributing it to that.
Oh, that's creepy, though.
You know what made me think about it was the first experience story about the couple saying that they lost all their pictures.
Yeah.
Because I've always complained to Claire. I'm like, man, every picture I took from the trip to Key West, I had chickens. There's a lot of chickens in Key West.
Yeah.
Just walking around. And I got a great cock-a-doodle-doo video of a chicken. Like, excellent. Like, 15 seconds, the whole thing, the chicken's doing its thing, gone.
Oh, man.
Also, which maybe Robert the Doll did this, I found out in Key West that Kyrie wanted a trade from the Cavs. That could have totally been Robert the Doll. But without further ado, I want to read you a couple of letters that were actually sent to Robert the Doll. Did you know that I saw Robert the Doll? Because I know you knew I went to Key West, but I don't know if you knew I saw.
I did know that, no.
Yeah, it was, because that's like the Robert did it. That was kind of like the, it was an ongoing thing. But he was creepy in person, and I probably shouldn't say that out loud, but there was a creepiness to him. Creepy enough that I really and legitimately didn't take a photo.
Yeah.
Not that it would matter, because my phone's gone. Okay, so now for a couple of letters that were written to Robert. Are you ready?
Really quick, quick. The guy that stole your phone, he watched that video of the cockadoodle. He's like, this is stupid. Throw it out the window.
This is so dumb.
Okay, sorry.
Dear Robert, I went to Key West in October 2009. I decided to come see you. I was told to ask you before I took any pictures of you. I asked to take your picture 3 times. Of all 3 times, my camera shut off. It was a new camera and new batteries, so it wasn't the camera. So I turned around and I took a picture of the hearse behind me. I had no more problems with the camera. Well, when I got home, I downloaded my pictures to my computer, and I realized that a reflection of you was in the glass on the hearse. I didn't really think anything of it, but shortly after, my computer crashed with a virus. I got hurt at work. I lost my job. I lost my new truck. I lost my home. It has been a downhill slide since then. If I didn't believe before, I do now. I do apologize if I upset you. Sincerely, I don't know. It's like a doctor wrote it. I can't. I'm literally reading someone's handwriting. It looks like it's our, I don't know, cursive, a G, I don't know.
Gary?
That, no, there's too many letters. But that's one letter.
Oh my God, that gave me chills too.
You're just feeling chilly up here in this hot. Okay, next one. Dear Robert, I am very sorry for not asking your permission to take your picture while visiting the museum last week. Since I've taken your picture without permission, many strange things have happened to me. While driving back from the Keys, a deer ran out in front of our car. We had to swerve to avoid hitting it and ran off the road. We almost hit a tree. 2 days later, we had a small kitchen fire. Also, we've been hearing childlike giggles coming from our basement. Last night, I was home all alone. I heard a voice coming from the basement. When I went to investigate, I tripped and fell down the bottom 3 stairs. I got up to run out, but the door was locked. My husband said that I probably turned the lock myself without even thinking about it and locked myself in the basement. But honestly, Robert, we both know the truth. Please accept my deepest apologies for taking your picture without asking. Also, please accept my daughter's apology for sticking her tongue out at you and making fun of you. Sincerely, Rosie.
Oh my God.
Now, she also signed it Rosie, which does not look like Rosie, but she also typed her name out. So, thank you, Rosie. Oh, God. This is some chicken scratcher. This is that cock-a-doodle-doo chicken right here. All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Dear Robert, I would like to start off by apologizing to you for being rude and taking your picture without having your permission. When I initially asked you for permission, I almost immediately started having chest pains. I should have known that it wasn't okay to take your picture. Again, I am truly sorry for not listening to you. Since visiting you about 3 years ago, my house has been struck by lightning 3 times. Also, a rental home I was scheduled to vacation at caught fire the night before I was to check in. 2 nights later, the rental home we were able to stay at was struck by lightning as well. Beginning with the flight home from Key West, after visiting you, my wife and I have begun to have problems with flying. Our problem is that anytime we fly somewhere together, one of our flights will be delayed. This has happened at least 4 times, and also our luggage has been destroyed once as well. I am so sorry for disrespecting you. Sincerely, Eric.
It sounds like Eric's problem is with Zeus and not Robert the Doll.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Dear Robert. Hello, Robert. How are you? I'm not good. I have a backache. I don't know why my back is hurt. Then I remember you. 2 months ago, I took a picture of you. I'm so sorry. I didn't know that I couldn't take a picture of you. Should I delete the picture? I must apologize for the delay of sending you mail. I don't know how I can apologize. So I'm writing this letter. I am so sorry. I hope your life is very good.
I like that one a lot.
I think that was a young person. Robert, we're sorry if you felt disrespected by our visit on Friday night. We should have taken our time with you more seriously. While traveling home the next day, we experienced serious delays and lost our bag, which has never happened to me or my wife. Hopefully, you can accept our apology and help our bag find its way back home. Thank you. Now, that seems like a minor inconvenience.
It does, yeah.
I think that happens to a lot of people. All right, last one. last one here.
Okay.
Robert, hope you're doing well. Just wanted to apologize if we upset you Friday night. If so, I'm really, really sorry. We have had the worst bout of luck ever since we met you. On Saturday, our flights got delayed and they lost our luggage. The airline still has no idea where it is. I'm not sure if I came off as insincere when I saw you, but I thought you were the coolest doll ever, and I told everybody so. Hope you're staying cool in the summer heat. Please forgive me.
Wow. It goes from like extreme to not as extreme.
Charlie, would you like to go to the discussion?
Yes, please.
All right, Charlie, there is a lot to unpack in this episode. We have the history. We have the origin stories. It really is broken up into sections. There's kind of Robert the doll with Jean, Robert the doll in the museum, Robert the doll with Myrtle, you know, kind of everything people have been experiencing at the museum. So what are your thoughts? Where is your head at?
The first thing I want to say is that if we offended you, Robert, I'm sorry. I just want to get out of the way.
Yes, we absolutely mean no harm.
Whoa.
I would love my phone back if you could. It's a 6S. I probably wouldn't I wouldn't use it anymore, but it would be good to have the pictures.
Just want to throw that out there.
I just want the cock-a-doodle-doo, man.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
I can't say that. Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
And I but you can keep Kyrie.
The next thing I want to say is the whole thing I find dubious, but that's coming from a perspective of someone who's never experienced anything to do with Robert the Doll.
Right. I think it kind of comes down to, well, let's do the first step. Do you think that a doll or an inanimate object could be a conduit? Like kind of like Dybbuk boxes, and not necessarily because that's kind of almost like a genie in that way, but like haunted objects. Do you think a doll could actually be possessed or a doll could embody an evil spirit?
I do. I think it's more like that object is being manipulated by something. Like it's a puppet of something.
Yes. It's hard to imagine that Robert the doll was always evil. It itself is evil. Like
right.
Like the straw and the felt is evil, rather than something has taken advantage of the doll and kind of used it, like we said, as a conduit.
Yeah.
To use it. Because it also is a source of attention. You know what I mean? Like the affection, the attention that Jean was giving the doll could have been siphoned to whatever was using it.
I don't think it's like this. One of my favorite episodes of Futurama is this evil car that's made from the most evil parts of all the evil cars of history, like Hitler's car and like
Christine.
Part of the Pope Mobile. It's a joke. And I love that episode because these evil components make this evil car. I don't think it's like that. I think because, like you said, the particular hay that makes Robert isn't evil. The felt isn't evil.
I have another, I need help. There's a Stephen King movie that has cars that come alive. And hit me up, people. You know what I'm talking about. I think it's like an 80s movie.
Man, that's just Cars 2.
But it's like electric objects, like electricity starts killing people. Kind of like The Happening, but then it ends up where these people are hiding from like these huge semi trucks. Like the trucks try to kill them. It's like it starts. There's like an M in there, but y'all did so great with Christine. So or whatever, Christy, you'll come back and you'll hook me up.
But my point being is that I feel like it's something manipulating this thing. If there is something at all, it picked the right kid though. You know what I mean? It picked the right kid to latch onto because the kid. Gene, he took it in stride, which is not what most kids would do, I think, or most people, actually. So it got lucky.
Yeah, but it's almost like, I don't know if Gene even had a chance. Like, it felt like he was already kind of hooked under the spell.
You think it's like a pseudo-possession? Or like,
let me put it this way. I don't think that he was completely acting on his own, and I don't think it was completely up to him how he was. The way that he was so infatuated, like the fact that he was ignoring his wife and stuff like that. Maybe he was just a weird, creepy dude. I mean, he was an artist. You know how artists be. And maybe that's the case, but it really seemed like there was more at play that was affecting him and kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, consuming him.
He was in this thing's thrall. He was controlled to some degree by whatever is inhabiting Robert. That's what it seems like.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think any of the other origin stories hold weight?
I think it's a well-known fact that Thomas Jefferson had affairs with his slaves and they had made children. That could have happened throughout history with many different families, especially wealthy families like Robert's family was. I think that definitely could have happened, possibly. And I know they were hired help. They weren't slaves. But you say he's a handsome guy. I don't know. It could have absolutely happened. We don't know. Because we don't have the proof. We don't have anything to back it up. But it would explain that vengeance toward them and that rage.
Right. And it makes sense. I agree with kind of the analytical lens that it was looking at, that of course you're going to make the foreigner know witchcraft and voodoo and stuff.
Absolutely.
Like that.
There's
like,
that too.
Yeah. But there, like I said, with the Netflix idea, like there's a plot for it. It makes sense in that way, like theatrically. But
I think that's how I'm looking at it. Like it totally makes sense as a plot.
Right, but that's not how the world
works. Well, I'd say life isn't like a story.
Right, and even if it's based on a true story, you can't believe that shit. So, but I'm also very comfortable saying that if I do believe it to be true, and I do think that the doll is haunted, I'm okay saying that nobody knows how it came to be haunted.
I agree. I agree with that.
Who knows 100%. What his grandfather did with that doll?
Oh, maybe he did some like occult rituals. I don't know. We have no way. Let me say this. There's no proof that the father had an affair. So we can't judge based off of that.
It's all hearsay. And anyways, whenever we do origin stories, it's always kind of like filler, kind of like, honestly, for me, it's fun to talk about because, I mean, humans are naturally curious. We want to know. We're not good at just being like, for instance, hey, there's life on Earth. Most people aren't cool with that. We want to know where life came from. We want to know how we got here. It's kind of like that. Like I think humans and our natural curiosity, we want to know more than just what something is. We want to know how it came to be. So naturally you want to tell about origin stories, especially when there's multiple theories to toss around. That's fun. But I guess what I really mean is that for the sake of this episode and the way we test the believability, we can't do every origin story. What we know is that there's a doll that people have had terrifying experiences with, and even now in a museum in Key West, people are still claiming to have terrifying experiences enough that they're willing to write letters, unless it's just a publicity stunt, even by the people, just for the sake of saying they wrote a letter to Robert the Doll. That's kind of where I think the main focus of the episode and the way we're breaking it down now should be. Also, movie is called Maximum Overdrive by Stephen King.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Going off that perspective, is this doll in the museum right now? Is that haunted?
I don't know.
I think the fact that so many people give it so much stock, and you yourself claimed that you felt this energy enough to not even take a picture. I go with viable. I believe there could be something stored in this, taking its revenge, especially if people aren't polite to it.
I think that people use it an excuse for things that naturally happen because it's so easy to draw that comparison if it's top of mind. Now, I could have done it. I didn't because I actually didn't. I didn't make that connection originally, but I could have my own Robert the Doll story where I'm telling people, yeah, I saw this doll and it's just like I backed my car got stolen. Yeah. Like I think it's easy to make those coincidences fit. So in terms of what's happened since it's hit the museum and what people have experienced, I think the museum knows, like, hey, we keep this up. We tell people, you have to do this, you have to do that, and if you don't, so-and-so will happen. Like we've said on other podcast episodes, people like being in on the joke. People like being in on the story. So when people talk about Robert the Doll, they're like, oh, I had a Robert the Doll experience. You know what I mean? People like to be included in that type of a thing.
It's easy to say that, and also it's easy to look back from a perspective and say conclusion versus causation.
In what way?
Like, causation being, I went to see Robert the Doll, bad things happened. Those things could just happen independently.
Oh, yeah, for
but
sure.
But they cause in your mind.
Oh, like the correlation is not causation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I feel like when enough time passes, I mean, bad things are going to happen. Nobody's like, I saw Robert the Doll and then I met the love of my life 2 months later. You know, they're like, I saw Robert the Doll and then a week later I stubbed my toe and then 3 years later, you know, my car broke down.
But maybe, I don't know, but maybe it's not that simple.
But that's just that aspect of it. Like,
for sure.
So 90s in the museum, that's kind of where I'm at with that. On the other hand, it really seems like with Myrtle and with Gene and his wife Anne and the Renners, that's a lot of firsthand experiences where there's nothing for them to gain from it. Like, now it's a good story. I went to Key West. I saw Robert the Doll. I messed with him. This crazy thing happened. It was nuts. But for the Renners and for Myrtle, there's no gain in saying that they heard children's voices and giggling upstairs. There's no gain to say. Like, the fact that so many different people said that they saw his expression change. Like, this isn't like 2010 where they saw it on Twitter and then they were influenced by it. I don't know how much communication there was had, but assuming that when Gene and Anne passed away and Myrtle bought the house and her daughter was excited about the doll, there could not have been that much communication about how haunted the doll was. Maybe there was. Maybe they were aware of it and that's why they kind of kept it away. That could totally be the case. But at the same time, those personal touches and experiences on seeing the expression change, things flying around the bedrooms, furniture, obviously, that to me holds more weight than what's been happening at the museums. But do I think it's the doll? It almost feels like more of a haunting and the doll just kind of happens to be around, or something is through the doll. Like, to me, if I had to go believable and I had to justify it to somebody, I would say the doll is clean. Something is clearly, something maybe demonic or something with vengeance is using the doll as a conduit. I don't think the doll is innately evil. And I'm not saying that's how we're rating it. If you think the doll is not evil, but you definitely think, well, you already said viable.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not saying that you have to believe the doll itself is evil. That I'm not saying that's what's at play here. I'm okay. Just saying if I had to go 100% believable, I would say that something was using the doll. But it feels like a big story. The guy seems a little strange. I don't really believe the museum stuff. But again, I was there and I didn't want to mess with him. I'm going to say skeptical.
That's right. Robert the Doll. Tyler has said skeptical.
But I love you, Robert the Doll. I respected you so much that I didn't take your picture, and I bet you had the cutest little furniture in your attic. So thank you so much for listening. That was our episode on Robert the Doll. Again, why? Why did we talk about Robert the Doll? It's not because I saw him 4 years ago. We're not bros. He's not in my fantasy football league. No, we're talking about Robert the Doll because we posted it in our Patreon. Multiple ideas. I won't say the other two. They're secrets to me and to you. Well, our secrets. Like, I know what I wrote. But what I'm saying is our patrons got to vote. They got to choose directly what topics we'd be talking about. They chose Robert the Doll. We said, okay, and here it is. So that being said, if you want bonus content, if you want more say in the podcast, and also remember, if you join our $10 dedicated tier, you get a unique exclusive t-shirt that you can only get if you join that tier, and you get every July and January bonus unique merch that you can only get, no extra cost, by being in that Patreon tier. But that's not the only tier we have. We got more. We have cheaper ones, bonus content, quizzes, all that fun stuff. If that's interesting to you, head over to patreon.com, search Believing the Bizarre. You'll find us lots of extra content.
But if you're not that interested in our Patreon, but you do enjoy the show, you like listening to our takes on this stuff, please, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave a review, because that does a lot for us. It helps us go up the charts.
Speaking of, because we just literally noticed it during our recording, I have been like a hawk keeping notes on, like, if you go to Apple Podcasts, this is probably really boring to some of you, so the episode's over, you can check out if you want to. I'm gonna go off on a little thing here. If you go to Apple Podcasts and you go to browse, that's kind of like, and there's, who knows what all goes into Apple's algorithm and how they rank these different podcasts. A lot of it, I think, has to do with reviews. And I'm sure being on Hillbilly Horror Stories podcast certainly helped. But for the first time that I've seen, that I've caught, and I check once a week, we finally made it into the top 50 podcast in the natural sciences category, which is hilarious that we are in natural sciences. But if you check most paranormal podcasts that aren't purely comedy and aren't fictional, they're typically in natural sciences. So it's awesome. Thank you so much for everybody who's been listening, engaging, leaving us reviews, even responding on Instagram. You don't want to even leave a review? Hit us up on Instagram, because that's kind of where we spend most of our time. They're in our Facebook group.
But if you're listening on Spotify, please feel free to follow.
Yeah. We love you on Spotify, too.
Yeah. Thank you.
It makes your background purple. I know we said that before, but it's really cool.
Still cool.
But still, just one of those out-of-body moments where, kind of looking back on where we've gone, hasn't even been a year yet. Really close, but it hasn't even been a year yet, and to see what we've been able to accomplish. And literally, we only accomplish this because you all are listening, engaging, and sharing it, and reviewing it. And it means the world to Charlie and I. It keeps pushing us to putting out better content, better stories, more research. It really means the world to us. And every time after we're done recording, we just kind of still have that moment where we're like, this is kind of crazy. Like, you can hear sirens in the background. They're coming because my heart is palpitating. Maybe you can't hear the siren, and then that doesn't make sense. But regardless, now I'm going off on a tangent. Thank you so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are.